I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
You're tuned into the Active Action Podcast. Step into a world of engaging conversations with leading experts, where every episode is your chance to learn, grow, and stay inspired. Become our proactive member and get access to expert strategy guides on personal and professional development, bonus episodes, and other exclusive contents. Visit activeaction.fm for more information. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Active Action Podcast. It's me, your host, Dr. Nazif, back again with another amazing guest. Just before we dive into the good stuff, wanted to let you guys know that we did start our proactive membership. So if you are into personal and professional development opportunities or looking to learn more on how you can develop yourselves in various self-development domains, please feel free to check out our Proactive Place initiative. If you are interested in personal and professional growth opportunities, I think you would like to check out our other episodes as well. We talk a lot about those topics. Just like today, we will talk about another amazing topic as well. The topic we're going to discuss today is mental health in the fast lane, thriving amid artificial intelligence, social media, and political shifts. So today we have with us Dr. Justine. So Dr. Justine is a licensed professional counselor, addiction counselor, and clinical supervisor. Currently, Justine is in private practice as mental performance coach at Human Theory Group, the firm he founded in 2020. And like I mentioned, the title for today's topic would be Mental Health in the Fast Lane, Thriving Amid Artificial Intelligence, Social Media, and Political Shifts, a topic in which Dr. Justine has a wealth of experience. So just before going into the good stuff, I wanted to mention, how are you doing, Justine, this evening?
Well, I'm doing well. I'm excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much, Justine. So before we dive into the discussion today, would you introduce a bit about yourself apart from what I say to my audience?
Yeah, of course. So I'm Dr. Justin Jock, and I've been in the field of mental health for 2001. So I've been a therapist for a long time. And one of the other passions that I've had is using AI. And I got interested in that work when I was doing my doctoral dissertation. My advisor was using natural language processing, which was an earlier precursor of AI. And we've just kind of kept riding that wave. And now it's gotten further and further. And so besides being a clinician, I'm also a researcher. I'm involved about 6 research projects right now. I publish quite a bit. And we use AI, corpus linguistics, to study things like counseling, psychology, threat assessment, and we're kind of branching out into all kinds of different areas now using something called network science.
That's very interesting to know. So I know that you're a very busy individual going through different branches of work, and I'm sure like our listeners would love to know a bit more about the mental health aspects of your work and also what your organization is doing in those aspects as well. One of the topics around mental health these days is the modern day mental health challenges. I know like you have clients who are chief executive officers, athletes or military, and they're used to stress. But how is today's kind of stress different from what we have seen before?
That is such a great question. I think what we're seeing is just an unprecedented access to information. And it's often just coming at us all day. And so I think in the past, most like high performers, athletes, military people, people that are in high level executive positions, kind of had a way to leave work at work, right? And kind of separate. But nowadays we have our phones, we have all the apps, we have social media, and then we have stuff being pushed at us all the time. And so I think it's particularly challenging to shut it off, particularly in times where there's, you know, difficulties in our country, in our world. Those times, people even get more interested in the articles, and the algorithms are set up so that you watch more of what they identify. So it can be a really hard cycle to break. So I think what I'm seeing with high performers is I'm having to help them really figure out where their boundaries lie, because there's always something else you could read. And what happens is they try to overcome it, and maybe they need to take a different approach.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know, these individuals, they have stress because they're into something, and it's kind of an added pressure when they have to achieve that for any purposes whatsoever. And I'm sure that adds to an extra layer of mental stress, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially if they're in a role where they have to know what's going on in the world, they have to have limits and boundaries to stay healthy. I think the big thing that I help them understand is that they still need to take breaks, right? They need to get away from their device. They need to get away from their computer. They need to take that time to go for a walk. They need to take time to connect with a loved one or a friend, right? And I think what's happening is that people are getting a little bit more alone and isolated, and we really need to start pushing people to take a break and connect with each other.
I 100% agree with you, Justin. And like, we are in a modern era. So people are, you know, like more turning towards artificial intelligence kind of things. There are many people who, you know, have their daily conversations even with ChatGPT, Gemini, or those kind of things, you know. And so even if someone is feeling stressed or not well, you know, they can just turn into these artificial intelligence platform and initiate a conversation. And currently there is voice conversations you can do as well. A trend that I have noticed is that before, when we were sad or in a way we are depressed, we were not feeling good, we used to go to a therapist. And at this current era, that trend has changed a bit. People has modernized. So they're kindly moving more towards those AI conversations. I personally noticed a few of those cases. So my next question to you would be, with the therapist shortage in this era, many people are turning to these AI chatbots or other self-help applications. So what is your take on these tools? Are they helpful or are these harmful?
Yeah, that is such a great question. I think what I'm noticing is, again, we don't have enough therapists. We had the pandemic. People started seeking help more. There was lower barriers. Stigma got better, right? So all of a sudden, we had all these people needing a therapist, and there's just not enough. So I think AI is super helpful in the fact that it does fill the gap. When I did some research, there's like something like 1.3 million lawyers in the world, but there's only about 200 to 250,000 therapists, right? And it's just not enough. So we're starting to train more and more therapists. Therapy training programs are exploding across the United States, which is really great. But in the interim, I feel like places that are low resource, like urban communities or even rural communities, even more, this can be a way to have some sort of support that they may not have. But the other side of the equation is a couple of my labs, we study bias in one of them. So we know that these models, right, ChatGPT, some of these others, they're biased. They have certain takes because they're trained on certain amount of data from certain perspectives. The other part that we do know is that often we have another research group that studies psychosis in artificial intelligence. What we're looking at is if somebody was psychotic and they came to AI, would that take them in a way that would be even worse, right? And what we're finding is that some of the models really do become echo chambers, and they tell you what you want to hear. So from a therapist perspective, I think that you have to know how to use the models. You have to ask them for the pros and the cons of an argument, if that makes sense. And so I think the consumer public doesn't know that. That all being said, the people that I work with, which is a number of people, a lot of them use AI between my sessions. So what I've done is really wanted to be open and transparent about when I use AI, and I ask them to do the same for me as well. So it's a new world. It's brand new, right? And I think it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out over time, keeping people safe, but also effectively helping them treat their mental health.
I 100% agree with you, Justin. And you talk about like being transparent. I personally feel if I'm being transparent with an AI or an artificial intelligence tool like ChatGPT or others, they cannot replace that human touch, you know, like even when I'm talking to someone, if it's a therapist or if it's a counselor, I connect with them, you know, in a personal level where I feel I can rely on that person and talk around with my problems and issues. With machine models and things like that, there might be some limitations that we can see on those areas if we cannot connect on those personal levels. You talk about that you have some high profile clients, and these high profile clients, I believe, they achieve towards big things. And whenever they do that, they get into a lot of stress. So can I ask you, what is a common myth about stress management that high achievers still believe? And what should they actually do instead?
Yeah, I think what I see in the high performers, so my private practice is made up of folks like maybe people that are in the military, in the intelligence community, physicians, physician scientists, and then the business professionals. And what I think they do is they just try to work harder, right, when they're stressed. And what they really need to do is know that rest is productive. I know that sounds crazy, but taking time off, and I really sell them on the idea that if they're able to take a break from their AI agents, their phones, political media, that they can then recharge, get good sleep, good diet, get outside, like nature is healing, right? If you can do these things, you're going to be way more effective because you're going to show up. Your mental health is going to be better, and then you're going to be way more effective and efficient. So I think really teaching high performers that rest and taking care of their mental health, their physical health, doing all the holistic things really makes them a more efficient person. And here's the great part. When you have AI involved and you can use it ethically and you can use it appropriately, it actually does reduce your workload, right? And so I think there's a new wave coming where if I can help people that are high performers utilize AI in a healthy, ethical way, then they're going to actually be even more healthy, more centered, and then be more effective.
Thank you so much for sharing that perspective, Justin. And you talk about a very good point where, you know, people need to take a step back, need to relax a bit. But it's also sometimes it might be difficult to do when you're vested with many responsibilities. And you talk about like stressors and stress in life. As a counselor, how do you actually help your clients to distinguish between a normal stress and signs that they actually need a professional intervention?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the big difference I would say is, you know, stress can often be helpful, right? They call it use stress. That's beneficial stress, right? Positive stress. But what I see is when it starts to impair your life, that's where I can start to say, well, this is not healthy. What does that mean? Well, is it impacting my relationships? Is it impacting my mental health, my anxiety, my depression, right? Am I having panic attacks? Do I have low energy? Am I getting poor sleep? Do I feel like isolating, right? So when I'm starting to see that and people start breaking down, that's when I have to really have these conversations that say, if we start working on things right now, it's way easier to be proactive than to try to get you out of a really bad place. But high performers don't like to hear that, because they're perfectionists and they like to push more, right? But I think what I can do is really use what I call the mental performance literature, the sports psychology literature, to say, hey, let's think about this differently, right? If I can help you get these pieces of your life into a better place, you're going to be able to manage this unhealthy stress and maybe turn it into a more positive, productive stress in some ways.
That's a wonderful work that you're doing, Justin. So I do commend you on doing that. In this modern era, we talk a lot about the impact of technology on mental health. And I think you can echo with me that we are all in the era of social media. We are using social media constantly. I know I do, even for the purposes of my work or the purposes of my passion. the social media algorithms, we know they thrive on outreach and engagements. So how does this affect mental health? And what advice would you give someone to be staying informed without burning out?
No, that's an awesome question, Nazif. I think what I notice is that even today in my conversations with my patients was, oh man, I'm doom scrolling all day. I get stuck in my phone. I stay up 2 hours late because of my phone, right? And so what I'm really telling people is that it's okay to delete the apps from the front of your phone. Make it an extra step to get in your phone. Make it so you have to log in, right? We want to slow that process down. And then what I do is have some people put guardrails, right? You can block yourself temporarily on your computer, on your phone. And for those who have really good discipline, I just say, let's take social media breaks. Let's take a week. Let's take 5 days, you know, and people will push back and be like, oh, Justin, but that's how I communicate with my community. And I say, well, let's just take a break and see what happens. And what I find is that people really love it. They're like, oh my gosh, I didn't know how much space my social media was taking up in my head. I'm constantly comparing myself to others. I never think I have enough, or I'm worrying about things that aren't likely to ever happen. And so I think really getting somebody to take a fast from social media, take a break, maybe delete the apps for a week, that can be just game changing.
I agree with you, Justin. Even just thinking of it, it's very difficult to live like without social media because our hand itches. We do it like every 10 or 15 minutes. But even if you try to take at least 1 day break from all kind of social media, I can say from my experience, I'll have a feeling I've never had in a very long time. And that is a weird feeling, but also it actually helps you to focus on other things, to get away from distractions. And when we see excuses like how we can run without social media, we do communicate. You also communicated before social media came into this world. There was different methods.
Yes.
So we have to like just try those out and healthy to take certain breaks from social media. Because you know, when you're scrolling something that is getting into your brain, you're thinking about it either consciously or unconsciously, but you are kind of engaging towards it, that which is causing distraction for your own work.
Teach people to check their email in one block in a day, or check their social media in one block. And that's a way to really lower anxiety for people that say that I have to check my social media. Well, I go, okay, let's do that. But let's schedule that from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. You're going to do all your email. You're going to do all your social media. You can look at the political stuff, and then I can take a break. And I think that's another way to take a social media or media break that can be really helpful for people.
Excellent idea, Justin. Like time blocking and having a dedicated block so where you can check your social media so you are not 100% away, but also teaches you to stay away from social media apart from that time so you can focus on other things. Can I ask a follow-up question on that? Is that what is your number one rule for using social media or any other technology in a way that supports mental wellness rather than undermining it?
Yes. So what I always, I'll actually give you some of my secrets away. So for getting information, right? Like, when I need to know about something, maybe it's health related, I think social media can be helpful for that, and AI can be extremely helpful for that. I use AI to prepare for my sessions sometimes, like get session planning. And then I use the AI bots a lot. So I use an OCD bot in ChatGPT. I use an IFS bot. And what this does is it helps me. I don't give away ethically, I don't give away any personal information, but it helps me think about some things that I'm not thinking about. My lab did this really cool study looking at Claude versus ChatGPT to figure out like what's best for what. And we found that Claude is very much better at kind of coming up with creative ideas, where, you know, ChatGPT is better at coming up with like math or code language or problem solving, right? And so that creativity piece, I often will use Claude to say, hey, Claude, I'm thinking about this session. Here are the issues I'm dealing with. What are some creative things that I haven't thought about? So I think it can be used as a really great tool for your mental health, or you're like, I'm having a really hard mental health day. You go go to Claude? What are four or five things I could do to really improve my mental health? What are some grounding skills that I could use if I'm feeling really anxious? So that's the way I feel like using in either social media or AI can be really helpful for your mental health.
Thank you for sharing that wonderful perspective. Justin, it's a wonder like how many different ways we can use AI. We just have to understand like how to effectively utilize that. Moving a step back to our previous conversation on like social media, you know, when social media has connected us to the whole world, and often there is a tendency of us to, you know, when we look at others' profile or blind superstars or whatnot, we try to compare ourselves, compare our lifestyle with them. This comparison comes into our mind, even in an unconscious state. So I'm sure you are aware of that as being a professional counselor. So my question to you is, how do you address this comparison fatigue?
I think it's such a, it kind of creates this idea that I'm lacking. I'm not having as fun, much fun as somebody else is having. I don't have as many things. And so a few things that I suggest is just to remind yourself that those pictures are always of their best moments. It's a very small clip. It's not the whole picture of their life. And so, again, I encourage people to maybe take a break from social media, but I also remind people that that's not a complete picture of their life. And it often is like the algorithm picks up the 1%, the stratosphere of influencers, and those lives aren't always authentic to what's really happening in their lives. They may be the most unhappy person, but have all the stuff, all the things, all the vacations. So helping people recognize that they're comparing themselves to something that maybe not real is often helpful. And then we also have, you know, AI creating, you know, with Midjourney and Firefly, Adobe, we're creating all kinds of images that aren't even real. So we have to be very careful about what we see in social media, because we don't even know if that's an AI generated image. And I think that's the new challenge when people compare themselves when they're looking through apps.
Also, when we are comparing others, there are stress coming in back again, and sometimes it's difficult to manage those stress. So can I ask you from your experience, what would one neuroscience-backed habit you teach your high-achieving clients to manage stress in this fast-paced world?
Yeah, I have gone back to really simple things. Things like making sure that you take a walk in nature. That is so good for your brain health. Just walking is great for your brain health. And just taking breaths. Like, I know that seems really simple, but two deep breaths throughout the day in any moment when you're feeling stressed can really be something that brings you back to center. You know, in this day and age, there's so many moments where we're not quiet and still. So even just like shutting your office door and doing some deep breathing. Maybe if you're feeling anxious, you're doing what I call the 4-2-6-2. You're breathing in for 4, holding for 2, breathing out for 6, holding for 2. You know, just breathing from your belly, not from your chest, and helping yourself calm your nervous system. Because in this world, our brains are not designed for how fast information moves. So it's getting faster and faster, and we're having to be so much in the information world, that taking that neuroscience-informed break where you're doing some breath work, you know, maybe you're doing some yoga, some stretching, getting in your body, can really give your brain a break and give you that rest you need.
Wonderful, Justin, that you shared, and amazing examples as well. I'm sure our listeners would understand the depth we are talking about, and they would try to apply those very useful strategies in their lives as well. Coming back a bit about being connected with technology, how you just mentioned that your clients might ask you, so how would I be connected with someone without social media? So technology actually has embraced us in a way. Even if you want, we cannot like go away from that. For example, just a simple text-based email. Email is a technology that we have to use. It's not an era of like writing paper letters anymore. So can I ask you this question, like, how do you think like busy professionals can set boundaries using the technology, but at the same time set boundaries with the technology, and that doesn't hinder with their career pathway or with their work?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think that's like setting boundaries in your workplace. I don't answer my phone after this time. I don't respond to emails mm-hmm. unless it's a crisis. Because really, remember, we don't have those boundaries anymore. It used to be you went home from work and that was it. So I think really letting your supervisors, your direct reports, letting people in your life know, when am I available and when am I not available, and not feeling bad about that. Because again, right. the better you're off, your mental health is, the better you're going to be for the people in your lives. And again, setting times and parameters. This is when I check my email. I check it once a day. It's at this time. I will respond then. A lot of people are really good at using AI bots now to respond to things that say, hey, I'll right. respond to you in 10 hours or whatever it is. But I think it's all about boundaries and utilizing those tools that are effective. I use a tool called SaneBot. And it is in my email, and it organizes my emails in a very specific way so I don't get overwhelmed. It puts them in folders so then I can go back and look at those folders when I'm ready. I don't have to access them right away. So I think there's a lot of little cool hacks coming out that'll help you be able to stay connected with others, but also create boundaries. And then lastly, the thing I would say is we need to start seeing people again. Go to things in person. I've noticed
like having that in-person connection.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like we've forgotten that okay. it's good to go to things. And there's a whole book that's been written about how depression really is about lack of connection. And I think with AI and with all of the ways that you cannot be connected, we need to go the other way and just start seeing people face to face, because I think that's so important.
You mentioned, you brought this up, micro practice. So this is a thing that is not used very commonly in our life, and maybe because people are not aware of that. So can I ask you to explain what is this micro practice and how you recommend micro practice for resetting focus during a chaotic day?
Yeah, that's a great question. So some of my micro practices, I have a lot of them. Some of them are as simple as drinking water. I also have this thing called the Apple test. I often will, because like we sometimes mindfully eat all day. If I'm hungry, mm-hmm. I'll eat an apple. You know what I mean? And if I'm not, then I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not that hungry. Maybe I'll drink some water. That's one example. The other thing I might do is quickly do some push-ups and sit-ups near my desk. I have this desk right here is a raising desk. So I sometimes feel better if I stand. So a micro practice might be doing some yoga stretching. It might be doing some sit-ups, some push-ups to elevate my dopamine and serotonin so I can focus again. Our brains love novelty. Another micro practice you can do is go take a walk around your building, a walk around your block. That'll help yourself get refreshed and be able to refocus. There's a lot of evidence that we can't focus more than an hour and a half at a time in the morning and an hour in the afternoon. So we've got to be taking little breaks for our brains to relax and to kind of rejuvenate themselves. So I think there's all kinds of little tools. I mentioned the breathing earlier. That's mm-hmm. another great one. And then, yeah, there's a million of them, but these are great things to do to put in the middle of your day to make sure that you can bring your focus and concentration back.
100%, Justin. So I think the key here is just take that break. So that whatever work you're doing, you can do that much better with much focus after that break.
Yeah.
Speaking of focus, so how do you help your client to rebuild focus in an era where we have so many distractions going on?
Yeah. One of the biggest things that I encourage people to do is mindfulness meditation. That could be as simple as just sitting. I have a yoga mat. I sit on it and I do breathing exercises and I count my breaths. So what that does is it allows ourselves to really be present in the present moment. And there's just a lot of literature that suggests that if you do that breath work, that mindfulness meditation, it can really help you with your focus, right? Because again, we're in this world where we're constantly being bombarded with information, emails, social media. Taking a break intentionally and focusing on being present in the moment can be a really powerful tool. So that's one of them that I would really suggest.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Justin. Can I come back to the topic? we are using technology, we are working with one another. And oftentimes there are situations when we have like conversations that doesn't go pleasant way, and that actually impacts us on our mental health. We know that there is tension going on and it just brings stress. So what your advice would be for navigating heated conversations, whether they are online or in person, without escalating additional stress?
Yeah, that's a great question. I feel like for that one, I encourage people to use I statements. I feel instead of you. I feel. I use I statements. I also like in hard conversations, creating some parameters around it, right? Helping the participants have a conversation. Know, here's what we're talking about. We're going to listen respectfully and we're going to respond appropriately. So those are some other things I might do. The other thing that I encourage people to do is when they're having difficult conversations, remember nuance. There's usually nothing that's all or nothing. There's probably some good and bad to most things. So helping people understand that there's nuance to something, that it's okay to disagree. And again, go back to those I statements. You can say, feel when you say, and here's what I need from you, using some of these, what I call nonviolent communication, which is one of my favorite books, helping them have a cadence to have difficult conversations can be really effective.
Well, that's wonderful advice. Thank you so much, Justin, for sharing that. So when we are having the conversation, another thing you mentioned, which was pretty new to me, that term, I haven't heard that before, that is doom scrolling. Can you explain to my audience what actually doom scrolling is? Why do we do it? And how can we break that doom scrolling cycle?
Yeah, that's a great question. Doom scrolling is effectively when you start watching YouTube videos, you start going down this rabbit hole, and then you get the algorithm, picks another video that you want to see, then you watch that one, you watch the next one, and all of a sudden, you get time blindness and 2 hours has passed. This is super
common. Binge watching.
Yeah, you've just been watching all these videos, and the algorithm knows the one that's going to release dopamine and serotonin, so you watch it. So one thing I tell people is, you know, if you're going to watch videos, maybe you set a timer, or you have a loved one, and you say, hey, I'm going to watch videos for 5 minutes, and I need you to remind me to stop. Because I think, again, the more you do that, the more prone you are doing that with the dopamine and the serotonin. So creating rules around how much time you're willing to spend in social media. The way I do it for myself is I make it a treat at the end of the day. So I might go for 5 minutes, but I'm very careful to always come back to, like, for example, before I go to bed, doing some reading or something that's more outside of technology. Because again, if we're in technology right before we go to sleep, it's going to impact our sleep. So we need to take a good hour. And I always recommend people take some sort of a routine at night, lowering the lights down, reading a nice book, getting out of the screens. That's really going to be helpful for your sleep and your overall mental health.
I encourage my listeners to take heed into Justin's suggestion that whatever the work activity you're doing, whether it's very important or even unimportant, you need to take a break for sure. Otherwise, when you don't have control over yourself and things get a bit addictive, whether you're watching a video or doing something else, that's not good for our mental health. This actually has impact, you know, it has impact on your life. It will have impact on your work. If you're a student, it will definitely have impact on your study. You won't feel such productive, you know. Wonderful discussion I'm having with you, Justin, today. Can you tell me a little bit more about the Human Theory Group you founded, and how can listeners find your work, or how can they connect with the Human Theory Group for more support?
Yeah, of course. It's at, you can go to my website, www.humantheorygroup.com. And I do individual coaching, I do therapy, I do consulting work. And again, I'm a researcher. I love to collaborate. So please reach out. I'm also on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Threads, Blue Sky, and X. So you can find me in all the socials. Another thing I love to do is communicate helpful information. So I'm always putting up articles, things to look at. So please don't hesitate to reach out. I'd love to talk with you.
I would end our discussion today by asking you if you could have only one piece of advice for someone who is feeling overwhelmed in this modern life, What would that be?
Yeah, I think the thing I would say is reach out. You know, I think what happens in our world is people get isolated. And if you can take the brave step to reach out to somebody in your life, you might find that they can be there as a listener, to be there with you in that. So yeah, make sure that you feel like you can reach out, and then keep forming relationships. Relationships are so important for your health, for connection, for everything. So please keep forming relationships, showing up and meeting people, push yourself in that way. And I think that'll be the best course.
I really appreciate that. Thank you so much, Justin, again for joining today's podcast. And dear listeners, feel free to go to our website and just type Justin's name. You will find his bio with all his social links over there. Thank you so much, Justin, for joining today's podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Dear listener, and that was today's podcast episode. Nazif signing out, but until then, keep well, stay active and take action. I'll see you in the next episode. And don't forget to check our website for more exciting episodes like this. Take care.
Thank you for joining us on the Active Action podcast at activeaction.fm. We hope today's episode gave you some entertainment, fresh perspectives, and a little extra motivation to take action in your own life. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed the show, share it with someone who might love it too. Visit our website, activeaction.fm, to enjoy all episodes and other exclusive contents on self-development. Take care, stay active, and take action.